Welcome to New Generation Church with our Pastor Eddie Garcia.
Then, as you're standing there, you can go ahead and open your Bibles before you have a seat. Once you sit down, I promise you, you'll be able to remain seated. Amen. Let's go to work. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 4 with an amen when you have it. Quick shout out to those that are watching us via Facebook and YouTube. Also, we want to give a shout out to our senior pastors of NGC, Pastors Eddie and Monica Merino, that they've touched down. Amen. They're on land now. So praise the Lord. Give a clap offering for your pastors. Amen. They're on their way home. They'll be with us tomorrow at the picnic. So continue to pray that the Lord protects them, that they have a safe travel back home without any hiccups. Amen. So they're watching. Amen. They're watching online. We're grateful for you guys. Make it home safely. And go ahead and go eat one more big meal before you come home. Amen. So are we there? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Amen. The title of my message this morning is A Good Soldier. A good soldier. How many good soldiers are in the house this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This will begin to make sense in just a minute. The word of the Lord reads, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it says, verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others." Verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier." Tell your neighbor, are you a good soldier? Tell him, ask him, are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Verse 4 says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Amen. There's soldiers in God's house this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Gózate. Don't allow the enemy to rob your joy. You're a soldier for Christ. You're no longer walking in defeat. Now you're walking in victory. God set you free. And where there's freedom, there's liberty to praise and to worship God. The circumstances do not determine your joy. You determine your joy. You determine to put the smile on your face, because you're no longer where you're used to be. Now you've been set free. Now you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a soldier in God's army. How many can say amen in his house? Now we're talking. I thought I was at a Baptist church. I thought I was at the church down the street, but I came to a Pentecostal church where they give it freedom in the Holy Ghost, where they praise the Lord and they speak in tongues, and they're not ashamed of their God because their God set them free. Hallelujah. Now we're talking. I thought I was in the wrong house. I said, man, I must have went to the wrong temple. Glory. And not the soldiers woke up. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to cut you some slack because it's Sunday, amen? But thank you for waking up. I need a little bit of your amen and your glory to God. They'll go a long ways this morning. Amen. So Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. Paul is writing from a place where he's not in a comfortable place. And if I could say it like this, he's locked up. You know, he's in prison. But yet, Paul has more freedom than those that are free. How many can say amen? And sometimes that's the way the church is. There's people that are bound in the world. They don't have the freedom of Christ, but yet they're happier than you and I. A su nombre. So Paul is writing Timothy from a prison, and he's telling Timothy, you, therefore, my son. You see, Timothy is Paul's spiritual son. In other words, Paul discipled Timothy, and he's telling him from a place of bondage and captivity in a prison, he's telling him, therefore, you, my son, be strong in the grace that Christ Jesus has given you. In other words, be strong, be happy that you're free, be happy that you're not in prison, be happy that you're no longer sick, be happy that you have the freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, everything changes when your perspective changes, when you begin to see things that differently, that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, that cancer would have killed you. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you would still be addicted to drugs. That if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you would still be walking and living in the world. But thank God that he called you to his army. You are a soldier of Christ. So Paul is telling Timothy, he's telling him, hey, be strong. You know, tell your neighbor right there, hey, be strong. Sé fuerte. Sé fuerte, be strong. You know, when you're in the army, I've never been in the army, but I served in the fire service. And our training is kind of paramilitary. Pastor Efrain, he served in the Navy. Pastor Oscar Andalon served in the Marines. And there's something that I've noticed of people who have served in the military. They're a different breed. If I could say it this way, with all due respect to the military, we are a different breed. Because in the fire department, they would never let you be slacking off. They would never let you be all moping, all sad and discouraged. They would tell you, cheer up. Change your face. Even though you feel sad. Even though you feel like you can't even carry your own soul. You need not allow others to see that weakness. You need to be strong. How many say amen? Amen? So Paul is telling Timothy, be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ, in the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you seen me walk firm in the Lord. You seen me, even though I was discouraged, I didn't allow people to see the discouragement. I led by example. I walked strong in the Lord. So as I showed you, you show others. You teach others that que si se puede, it can be done. Amen. So he's telling them, you know what, Timothy? Not just you, but other witnesses seen my walk in God. They seen that when Jesus Christ transformed my life, you know, I became radical for Christ. I became a soldier of Christ, Timothy. You see, you got to understand that Paul used to be a persecutor of the church. Paul used to be a martyr of Christians. He used to have letters of authority to persecute Christians, to persecute the church. But when the Lord got a hold of him, everything changed. He began to love the church. He began to love Christians. He began to love his brothers and sisters in the Lord. He caught on fire for God. And that's what God is looking for, soldiers that are on fire for his kingdom, for soldiers that are on fire for God, for those that say, you know what, I'm all in no matter what. I'm not going to allow anything to rob my joy. I'm not going to allow anything to discourage me. I'm going to lead by example, just the way I see my pastors serving the Lord, just the way I see my leadership serving God, regardless of the trials and the tribulations that come to their life. They're constantly here receiving me with a smile, encouraging me in the Lord. So I'm going to encourage myself. How many say amen? I'm preaching good now. You see, sometimes we get it twisted. You know, we come to church with a sad face. And we want people to say, ay, pobrecita. Ay, pobrecito, mijo, mija. Oh, it's okay for you to be moping. No, 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 sabes que you can't be moping. Jesus Christ set you free. I seen the miracles that God did in your life. I seen the bondages being broken. And if I can glorify God for you, you can glorify God too. Because we pray that sickness, we pray those demons, we pray the bondages away. And we will not allow the enemy to infiltrate in the church again. How many say amen? If I'm preaching to you, say ouch. Say ouch, amen. If you can't say amen, say ouch. You therefore must endure hardship. You therefore must endure hardship. I'm on verse 3. Just in case you're thinking or the enemy's telling you, oh, he's throwing it out you. He's talking about, I'm reading the Bible. I'm teaching straight scripture. Verse 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We must endure. You think that it's easy serving God? No, it's not. But I'm a soldier of Christ. God's called me for such a time as this. He's called you for such a time as this to rise up for people to see that it can be done, that we're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Endure hardship. Ponte las pilas. Put the batteries on. Endure sickness. Endure discouragement. Endure layoff. Whatever comes your way, endure it. Stand firm. Know that God is with you. Watch the hand of God be glorified. Watch the hand of God manifest itself in your situation. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Remember, it wasn't the pastor. It wasn't the leadership. It wasn't the church NDC. It was Jesus Christ who enlisted you into his army. You're serving him. You're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're representing God Almighty. You're in his army. I don't know about you, but when I was in the hood, I wanted to represent. Right? I was all in over there. I want everybody to know what hood I was from. Ain't that right, JoJo? You know, we were down. We were down. We weren't the type that would back down. You know, well, this is my hood, Ike. But not no more. Now we're enlisted in Jesus Christ. Now we serve the Lord God Almighty, Robert. Ahora con más ganas. Now with more encouragement, now with more fire, now with more gusto, serve God. You're representing the Lord God Almighty. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of his life. Hallelujah. This is a spiritual warfare. You see, you have to know that we are at war. I'm going to say that again because some of you guys didn't hear me. You have to know that we are at war. We are in a spiritual warfare. We are fighting against principalities, against rulers of darkness. But the Lord is on our side. He is already defeated. You got to know who you are. You're at war. I've never been in war, but I heard Pastor Efrain say sometimes, hey, in war, it's a different ballgame. Your mindset, you're like engaged. You're ready for battle. Right there, when you're in war, there's no softness, para que me entiendas. You're not soft. You're hard. You're ready to engage. You're ready. You're on your toes. Yes, you're stressed out because you're in war. Hello, somebody. And here you were blaming their stress on work. You're blaming the stress on your wife or your husband, on your children. Hey, it's a war. There's spiritual warfare. Don't get mad at him or her. Don't get mad at them. Get mad at the devil. Because he wants division. He knows that if he makes your life impossible, sooner or later you're going to throw in the towel. Hello, somebody. We are in spiritual war, but we are soldiers in God's army. Tell your neighbor, you are a soldier. Tell him, you are a soldier. You are a soldier. You are a soldier of the truth. You are a soldier of the cross. You are a soldier to defend the scriptures. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. For the Lord, your God is with you wherever you go. I'm going to read it again. Have I not commanded you? Ahora let's see. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So in other words, you're not alone. Wherever you go, God goes with you. You just have to be strong. You have to be strong and you have to be of good courage. Am I in the right house? You know, God's called you as a soldier to defend the faith. You are a soldier to protect your family, and not just your family, the institution of the family. God has given us that assignment as soldiers. You see, soldiers are obedient to their orders. When you give an order to a soldier and it's given to him or her by a superior, that soldier doesn't question the order. You see, when they give you an order by a superior, you fulfill that order. You make it happen. You look for answer, solution. You don't question back the authority and you say, but we don't have this. We don't have that. We can't go. They don't want to know. They give you the order and you figure it out. Amen. Right, Pastor Efrain? An order is an order. Amen. You fulfill the order. You fulfill the assignment that God has given you. Why? Because you're enlisted in the army. You are a soldier of God. You are a soldier to protect also the institution of marriage. You know, God has called us. God has called us to be an example that my marriage mirrors God. That my marriage reflects an image of God, a godly marriage. That in other words, the people of the world see my marriage and they say, you know what? We need to start going to NGC because that marriage looks like it's a good marriage. We can see that they're always happy. They're always joyful. Even though they're going through storms, they always have the joy of the Lord. We're supposed to attract. They're supposed to want to be like us because we're soldiers of Christ. Our marriage, our institution, we got to protect it. We can't allow the world to infiltrate our marriage, to infiltrate our families. We have to protect as good soldiers what is ours, what is valuable, what we hold as sacred. How many can say amen? No te dejes. Don't allow yourself to be influenced by them. In other words, you influence them. Amen. Not them, you. You, them. Right. Amen. Amen. You are soldiers to protect the church, the universal church, but also the church of New Generation Church El Centro. You are called as a soldier to protect the mission of NGC. You are called to protect the vision of the house. You are here because God has called you to be a soldier of NGC. How many can say amen? You see, you don't. If you don't feel like you're part of this army that's called NGC is because you haven't accepted your enlistment. In other words, you deny your calling. You deny your enlistment. You haven't opened the email that Jesus sent you and told you, hey, I've enlisted you in the army of New Generation Church. That's why there's still some of you guys that haven't signed the application sheet back there to become a member. Because you don't want to be enlisted. You don't want nobody to give you orders. Hello, somebody. It's going to get good. You don't want nobody to tell you anything. You want to go and come as you please. Well, let me tell you something. And let me bring you to a current status or a current situation, or let me break some news to you that in this church there's order. Amen. Hello, somebody. Amen. There's order. There's a pastor. There's an assistant pastor. There's leadership and so forth. There is order in God's house. Amen. Why? Because we are an army of Jesus Christ. How many can say amen? You are a soldier to defend others. You see, when you're in the army, when you're in God's army, your neighbor, he's also a soldier. And in this army, just like in the army and the Navy and the Marines and the Air Force, no one gets left behind. We go back for our wounded. We go back for our fallen soldiers. We don't leave our soldiers on the ground. Even though it might cost us, we will go back and bring back the soldiers that have gone down. How many can say amen? Amen. You see, but in order for that to happen, you have to be part of the army. Amen. And if you already are in the army, no te agüites. Don't get discouraged. Don't get mad at you. You're good. You're already part of the army. But if you feel like God's speaking to you, hey, you need to get plugged in. You need to sign up. You need to open up that email that God's calling you to enlist in his army. Hello, somebody. Amen. Andale, no more weekend warriors. No more Sunday warriors. Amen. We want you. Remember, back in the 90s and the 80s, there was a big campaign to enlist people into the military. And there was a big picture of Uncle Sam with a big old finger that said, "We want you. We want you. We want you." Well, today's no different. We're here telling you, we want you. We want you on our army. We're not here to make you feel bad. We're not here to discourage you. I know that you come to God's house because you want a word of encouragement. But you know what? I'm telling you that there's more than just Sundays. There's an army in this church that you can have access to that will help you fight your battles, that will help you go through whatever you're going through. But you can't isolate yourself. If you're part of the army, you gotta allow your other soldiers to know that you're struggling, that you're having temptation, that you're feeling weak, and that you need prayer, that you need encouragement, that you need to be lifted up, that you need to be prayed for. How many can say amen? See, but we don't know if you don't speak up, if you don't say anything, you know. But a good soldier, brothers and sisters, knows who he is, you know, knows that just because he's asking for help. And when I'm talking about soldiers, I'm talking about men and women, okay? Don't get it twisted like, oh, he's just preaching to the men. No. I'm preaching to the men and the women of this church. I'm preaching to the church in general. Amen. This is not a men's service or a women's service. This is a church service. That's everybody in the house. How many say amen? Amen. So what I'm trying to say is that when you ask for help, it doesn't mean that you're showing weakness. You know that it takes a stronger person to humble himself, to put their pride to the side and say, ¿sabes qué? I need help. You know what? I need help. I'm not making it. I you know what? I'm tired. I'm weary. I don't know what's going on, but lately the devil has been bombarding my family, my home, my marriage. I need the church to rise up and to pray for my house. We need to make warfare. We need to rise up as a church and stop talking about each other and lift each other up in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we're in the same army. We're fighting the same battle. We're fighting the same demons. Amen. We don't shoot our own soldiers. How many can say amen? Amen. Aquí no hay friendly fire. There's no friendly fire right here. Oops, the gun went off. Sorry, I shot you with my M16. No. Or my 9mm. No. We're on the same team. There's no friendly fire in the house. Amen. We need to be watchful. We need to put that gun and put it on safety. That gun on safety. You understand what I'm saying? That gun, put it on safety. Watch the bullets that come out. Hello, somebody. Mercy. Ephesians 6, verses 11. We're going to move on because I feel like some of you guys are looking at me funny.
Praise the Lord.
Ephesians 6, verse 11, 12 and 13, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the attacks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So we got to put on the whole armor of God, church. Understand that you're not fighting the pastors. Understand that you're not fighting the leadership. Understand that you're not fighting your brother and sister in Christ. You're not fighting the men's leader. You're not fighting the women's leader. You're not fighting the children's ministry leader. You're not fighting against the nursery leader. There's principalities that are at work. There's rulers of darkness that want to cause division in God's army. But today we are rising up. Today we are understanding that we are not fighting against each other. Today we lift our voice. Today we take our stand as soldiers of Christ. And we say, no longer will I allow the enemy to put negativity in my mind or my heart. Because I understand that who I'm fighting. Tell your neighbor, we have just unmasked them. We just unmasked the enemy. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And you know what? That's why Paul is telling Timothy all these things. Because he knows that there's going to be days of discouragement. There's going to be days where you're going to feel down. But you got to go to the scriptures. You got to know the Bible. You got to read the Bible so that you know where the answer is at. You can't depend on Pastor Eddie to be feeding you every Sunday. Every Wednesday, every discipleship, every time you call, you have to make the time to learn how to use your tools that God has given you. And again, don't get it twisted. We're not saying that we won't do it. Yes, we will do it. That's our job, to help you fight a spiritual war. But you know what? Our job is also to disciple you, to teach you, to learn how to do spiritual warfare. Amen. So that later you can fight for yourself. So that later you know how to use the gun and there's no more friendly fire. Amen. So that you know how to use the M16 and the 9mm to shoot the enemy. Hello? That's part of discipleship. That's why it's important for you to come to discipleship. To come and learn how you're supposed to operate in God's army. Amen? Okay, let's move on. The Apostle Paul told his spiritual son Timothy, you are going to have to fight the good fight. You know, Paul already knew that he his life was coming to an end. He was telling Timothy, hey, I know your potential, Timothy. I know who you are. I know what you're capable of. I know what's in you. Why? Because I laid my hands on you with your mom and with your grandmother. I was there when you received the baptism, the fire of the Holy Ghost. I know what's in you. You need to know what is in you. So Paul is telling them, hey, you're going to have to fight the good fight. You know, I don't know about you, but you can't just fight anybody. You know, there comes a point in your life where you have to learn how to pick your fights. Hello, somebody. Not just anybody that cuts you off at the light or in the stop sign. You know, some of you guys are already ready to throw down right there. Amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real fights. Learn how to pick your fights, your battles. You know, things that are worth fighting for. Not just because they put a comment on Facebook and you didn't like it and you're ready to throw down. No, that's Mickey Mouse fight right there. I'll talk about real fights. You know, when cancer comes in your home, when renal failure shows up at your door, When heart attack, I was going to say the medical term, but se me olvidó. Or a stroke. Amen. Those are the fights that I'm talking about. The real fights. None of these little Facebook battles right there. Leave that for, for people that don't have time to do anything else but to be fighting over a heart or a like. Hello, somebody. Over a heart or a like. Oh, he gave her or she gave him a heart and they gave me a. Come on, somebody. I'm being real. We don't have time for those fights. Let's learn to pick our fights, church. Check it out. 1 Timothy 6:11 and 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Ay, Señor. Glory to God. Timothy was starting off his ministry in chapter 4 where Paul is telling him, hey, it's your turn. I'm about to be poured out like an offering. It's your turn to get the mantle. It's your turn to rise up. It's your turn to fight the good fight of faith. He was encouraging Timothy. Kind of like I'm doing you right now. Get in the fight. Fight for what's real. Fight for what's yours. You know that you won't fight for something unless it really matters to you. Like your children. I don't know if you guys ever seen a mom fight for her kid because he's being mistreated by some other person. Man, you want to talk about a fight? That's like a bear, a mama bear, that'll just transform into another person. Right? Yeah, I know there's some of you guys still here. Which is good, but you can't be going off just on anybody. Save that to defend what matters. Your husband, your wife, your children. You know what I'm saying? What matters, what's valuable. Not because of Facebook or YouTube. Or because you heard or they heard. Because they didn't say hi. Because they didn't invite you. They invited you, but it was a general invitation. It wasn't a personal phone call. I'm not going to church. I'm resigning the army. Mercy. Pastor Frank, could you resign the army? But you get a dishonorable discharge. Right. And maybe you go to jail if you resign. See, when you enlist in the army, there's a commitment. That when the bombs start going off, when the bullets start flying, you can't say, oh, I don't feel like being in the army today. I'm going to go home. You can't do that. You can't do that. They'll put you in the barracks. They'll put you in jail. You'll do time. They'll take your freedom. And it's no different in the army of God. When the bombs start going off, when the bullets start flying, don't run away. That's when you need to be in the house of God. That's when you need to be in prayer. That's when you need to be in discipleship. That's where you need to be fellowshipping with the men and the women of your army. Not run away, not stay home. Hello, somebody. I'm preaching good. I think I don't know if we still have DVDs or tape, but I'm going to buy it myself. I'm going to have to download it. Hey, I'm glorifying in the Lord. Amen. All glory to him. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Ya vamos a acabar. We're going to almost land the plane. It says, charge you therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom. He tells them in verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm exhorting you. And you're being long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Endure as a good soldier that is enlisted in the army of New Generation Church. Don't look for false doctrine. Don't let your ears be itchy to hear what you want to hear. Those that are going to tell you, sabes que está bien, mijo. It's okay, baby. Ay, they don't understand you. Only I understand you. It's okay. They're wrong. Never mind. You know what I'm talking about. That's itchy ears. That even though you're wrong, they're telling you, hey, you're okay. It's not your fault. No. You need to endure. You need to be strong. Endure the afflictions. Aguántate. You want it in, now you're in. Now you want out. How many want out? Come on now. In La Clica, you were all in. In the clique, you were all in. There was no halfways. You're either in or out. And if they seen that you were flaking it, they would jump you out. They would say, Sasuke, get out of here. You you poser. You know, I don't know, but I'm going to behave now. But yes, you know what I'm saying? That's the way it was. And it's no different, church, in the things of God. In the things of the Lord, it should even be with more fervor. To serve the Lord, to be all in. And I know that not everybody comes from the hood like me, right? So I, with all due respect, I know that you guys, some of you guys are professionals. And you guys went to school and you have degrees and stuff like that. So I know my analogy wasn't the perfect one. But in other words, be part of the team. You know, the baseball team, the soccer team. You know, you can't just throw the bat down and say, oh, you know what? I'm not going to bat. Let somebody else bat. You know, oh, I'm not going to catch the ball. Let somebody else catch the ball. You know, this is teamwork, church. This is the army of the Lord. This is the army of the Lord. We're all together in the same army. Check it out. There are many people in the Bible we can term as soldiers. These are some examples. Abel, he was a soldier. Enoch was a soldier that walked with God for 365 years and God took him. Noah was a soldier. He built an ark for God, preached a message for 120 years, and only his family got saved. Wow. That's crazy, huh? Abraham was a soldier of the Lord. Abraham believed God and didn't stagger, even though he was old and God told him that he was going to have a child. He believed God and it was counted towards him as faithful. We know him as the father of faith. He was a soldier of God. Isaac was a soldier. He stayed in the land God promised and he prospered in it. He sowed in a famine and is the first registered one to receive a benefit and a hundredfold anointing from God. Why? Because he was a soldier of God. Rebecca was a soldier for God. She kept on running back and forth with pots of water to feed the camels. She was a soldier. Sarah, at the age of 90, received strength to conceive a seed. Oh, what a soldier. She was able to go for 90 years, and she was able to see her body come back to being 36, 24, 36. Sarah was a soldier for God. Some of you guys didn't get it, but you'll get it later. In other words, her body came back to the point where she can be pregnant. You still didn't get it. Jacob and Esau were soldiers for God. Moses was a great soldier for God. Joshua and Caleb were disciples of Moses, students of Moses. Spirit of conquest was on them. Why? Because they learned from a great soldier. They learned from a great teacher who was Moses. They were soldiers for God. Now shout, I am a soldier for God. Come on, now shout, I am a soldier for God. I can't hear you. Now shout, I am a soldier for God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, you're not going to do it on your own strength. You're going to do it on the strength of the Lord. The process is what makes you an old soldier. You see, that's the whole goal. That's the whole point. To get to the point where you're an old soldier like Pastor Efrain. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But you want to, you know, be able to serve the Lord and get to an age where you're just enjoying the blessings of the Lord because you've served. You know, there's when you serve the Lord, when you serve your country, there's benefits. Hello? When you're enlisted in the army, or the Navy or the Marines, you get special treatment because you served. So in the army of the Lord, it's no different. When you serve the Lord and you become an old soldier, you get benefits. Hello? The process of becoming an old soldier is patience, time, endurance. You got to be patient. You got to give it time, and you have to endure. James 1:5 through 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Being an old soldier means that you have to gain confidence in your gift. Because at some point, your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. You have to gain confidence in God. We preach the way we preach. We teach the way we teach because we have grown confident in our gift. We have grown confident in God's calling, that God has called us, that God doesn't call the ready, but he prepares those who are called. God doesn't call the gifted. He prepares those that respond to the gift. You know, some of you guys have a gift. Some of you guys have talent. Some of you guys have what it takes. But you need to activate yourself. You need to respond to the enlistment that God has made on your life. He has put a demand on you, and you need to respond. God wants to use you. He's called you for such a time as this. Respond to God's calling. In the meantime, while your gift is making room for you, start preparing. Start studying. Start practicing. Start practicing how you will carry yourself when he puts you in front of greatness. You know, I've shared with you guys that for 3 years, I sat in the front row of this church. And in that time, there was times where I wanted to throw in the towel. There was times where I wanted to give up. But you know what? You know what opened the door for me? Consistency. Consistency. That I was here every Monday, every Wednesday, every Sunday. When there was a men's fellowship, when there was an activity in the church, I was there. I was there. I was involved. I was all in. And for 3 years, I didn't even get to open up a service. Not even a thank you, Jesus. But you know what? That helped me. My confidence grew. I didn't sit there and mope and groan and sad face. Whoa, man. Efrain's going to preach again and not me. Pastor Eddie's going to preach again and not me. Pastor Oscar is going to give the class and not me. You know, and all these other brothers and sisters that would teach and preach. And here I am 3 years right there sitting and knowing that I could do a better job than Pastor Efrain. I'm just kidding, Pastor. I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you say, you know what? Why not me? Why not me? Why can't I do it? But there has to be consistency. You have to pay the price. You have to show up. You can't be a soldier that's missing an action. You know, a soldier that AWOLs, that runs off on their own, when they catch him, you know what they do? They put him in the barracks. They put him in jail. Because he left without permission. In other words, he's being disobedient. And it's no different in God's house. If you're not going to be here, call brother or sister. Let them know, hey, I'm not going to be there. It's not that we want to be nosy. It's that we there's accountability. You know, there's accountability in God's house. We want to pray for you. We want to know, hey, do we need to gather up a team and go visit? You know, there you go, a welfare check. Go see that everything's good in your house. Maybe you need help. Maybe you're being held hostage. Mercy. I'm just kidding. But you understand what I'm saying, right? And you see, and a lot of times we get it twisted. We think that, oh, no, they want to be all up in my business. We got better things to do too, you know? We don't have to be all up in your business. And I'm just being truthful. Because I hear things, you know, and I just want to clarify that we don't want to be all up in your business. We don't. Pastor Eddie doesn't want to be all up in your business. You know, it's just communication as partners of the same army. How many say amen? Híjole, if I could take a picture of your face. Praise the Lord. Remember, to grow as an old soldier, you have to be convinced of God's will, and you have to be able to stay. You have to be able to say, your will be done, not mine. Your will be done, God, not mine. You need to have determination. You need to have passion for the things you do. In other words, if you're going to serve, serve with excellence. If you're going to be here, be here. And one last thing, because it's already time to land. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Time is very valuable. Don't waste your time. You know, Go full throttle. You're already in. Go all the way. Don't stay in the shallow waters. Go deep with God. You know, God wants to use you. God's called you into his army because he's got assignments. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He's just waiting on you to respond as a good soldier. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.